Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And a couple of weeks ago, we started a brand new series titled, Why? And we're just asking some questions. The first lesson was, why believe in God? The second lesson is this lesson today, why worship? Why worship? Worshiping God is the greatest, highest attainment of any human being. No goal is greater or more noble than giving God what is due Him. Jesus said in John chapter 4, but an hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God seeks and God deserves our worship. Now, there are two words in the New Testament that are translated worship. One is translated worship and service. The first word is the word proskuneo. Proskuneo. It means to kiss toward. To kiss toward. And then the second word is latreia. Latreia. And it can mean worship or it can mean service. I think it mainly has to do with our life, because our life is a offering to God. Romans chapter 12 says we're ever to be upon the altar offering ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him. And so we were made and created for the purpose of worship. And so today, we're going to talk about why worship. First of all, why a symbol? Why a symbol? Now, there are scriptures that tell us that we're supposed to gather together like this. The Hebrew writer says over in Hebrews chapter 10, for example. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I'll read 24 and 25. He says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says that we should gather, that we should come together on the Lord's day to worship Him. God seeks and God deserves our worship. And so let me ask you a question. Why did you come here today? Why are you here? What is the motivation? What is the reason that you came here today? Some people say, well, I've gone to church my whole life. It's just what I do. I just do this on Sundays. Someone might say, well, my parents made me come. Good job, parents. Good job. Because God did not call you to be your child's pal. He called you to be their parent. And part of parenting means you're going to bring your kids to worship God on the Lord's Day, because it's what we do. Because He redeemed us in Jesus Christ. He demonstrated His love for us in such an incredible way. How could we not come and offer to Him? Another person might say, you know, I'm in trouble and I'm looking for answers. Not a bad reason to come, right? I mean, if you're seeking answers for the difficulties and problems of life, God is probably your best option, right? And so I think that's a good reason to come. But the reason that we come is to glorify God, to give God His due. The reason we come is to give Him His due. You see, I owe God everything, and you owe God everything. The reason we come is to give God the very best that we have to offer Him. Back over in Psalm 96. Look at verses 8 and 9. 96, 8 and 9 says, give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come and to His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. And so we come to give God what is due Him. We come to say thank you, God, for redeeming us in Jesus Christ. This is an opportunity for us to say, God, we're so thankful and grateful for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And we just want to thank you for that today. That's our job. It's our responsibility. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says, you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? That's our job. That's our responsibility. And so we're supposed to gather because God calls us to do this. This is good for us. It's healthy for us. It's faith building. And we need God. But also, and I'm just going to throw this in, it's one of the reasons we gather. Encouragement. Encouragement. It's what the Hebrew writer says, right? We encourage one another to love and good deeds. And you can't do that if you're not here. Can't do it if you're not here. You can't receive it if you're not here. And so another reason we come is, you know, for encouragement. But I want to focus more on God today. And so as we think about the various acts of worship that we participate in, I'm going to go through them. So, why sing? Why sing? Psalm 22 says that God inhabits the praises of His people. Think about that. God inhabits the praises of His people. Why sing? Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2 says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all the peoples. You see, we are called to sing the praises of God. Some say, you know, well, you know, I don't sing because, you know, I'm tone deaf and I don't sing very well. And here's the reality. God created your voice. And He loves to hear it. He really does. He made your voice. And He loves to hear that voice praising Him and singing songs unto Him. He loves it. Your neighbor may not love it. But you're not singing to your neighbor. You're singing to God. And so sing. Sing. It's what the Bible encourages us to do. Let me just share some scriptures with you from the Psalms. These are verses on singing and shouting unto the Lord. Psalm 47:1 says, oh, clap your hands, O peoples. Shout to God with the voice of joy. Psalm 71:23, my lips shall shout for joy when I sing praises to Thee. And my soul, which Thou hast redeemed. Psalm 81:1. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. Psalm 95:1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And then Psalm 98:4. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy. Sing praises. You see, we have more to sing about and shout about than anybody else on this planet. We are the redeemed of God, right? God has redeemed us. We are heaven bound. We have hope in Christ the world does not have. We have all the reason in the world to sing. And that's why when one of ours goes down, we can carry them to the cemetery singing, singing, because this is not the end. It's not over. There's life in Jesus Christ. So much to sing about. God calls us to sing. And I've always believed that this particular act of worship affects us in a way that the other acts of worship do not. Singing just has a way of getting down to the deepest recesses of our being. And these songs minister to us. They speak to us. We love them. They move us. They motivate us. And you feel it, right? In your spirit, in your heart. And that's why we smile. That's why some people shout when they're singing, because they're happy. That's what you do when you're happy. Singing is for happy people, right? It's for happy people. We should be a happy people. God has redeemed us in Jesus Christ, given us hope. We have so much to be thankful for and to sing about. So God calls us to sing. Don't miss this act of worship. Don't miss it, because it's very important. But then, why preach? Why preach? There's a movement across America, and we're seeing an increase of speakers and a decrease in preachers. We don't need speakers in the church. We need preachers in the church. We don't need to try to save the world in a human way. We need more preachers and preaching. God's way of saving the world is through preaching. That's how God determined to save the world. Listen to this, Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they say, not all have obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I am a preacher. That's what I am. And when I'm asked about my vocation, I never ever say, I'm a speaker. I never say, I'm a public speaker. I am a preacher. And my job is to bring to you a word from God, a word from this book. Not my word, but God's word, a word from this book. And when I preach, something supernatural happens. God ministers to his people through the preaching of the word. Some people are led to salvation. The Holy Spirit begins to work and minister on that person's heart. And they're brought to a point of conviction. They realize that they're dead and their trespasses and sins. And they can be made alive in Christ. And that's thrilling to them. God moves through preaching. He really does. Supernatural things occur. God ministers to your heart. Sometimes God says things to you. You just need to hear. And it's the answer to what's going on in your life at the moment. It's amazing how that word, when it goes forth, it's powerful. And it meets the needs that we have in our lives. It feeds us. See, Peter says, like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. You're not going to grow apart from Scripture. This feeds your faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so man is not just a physical being. He's a physical being and a spiritual being. You have a body and you have a spirit And the Word is what ministers to your spirit and feeds your spirit and helps you grow in Christ. And if you're lost, it brings you to faith in Jesus Christ. Preaching is powerful, and preaching is what God desires. The Word does for us what no other writings can do. You can read the writings of the church fathers. You can read great books written by brethren in the church. But it doesn't minister to you in the way this book does. This book is powerful. It's powerful. It'll help you grow and become the person that God wants you to be. And you'll never be that apart from this book. I preach because I know purity is on the line. I know that decisions need to be made. And people want to make wise decisions. I know that people just need help to get through another day. And I know that the gospel is God's power to save the lost. That's why we preach. That's why we do it. Why give? Why do we give? Go back to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, look at verse 8. 96:8 says, "Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts." And so here, there's encouragement to bring an offering to God when you come to worship. And so you can search the Bible from front to back, from back to front, from the middle out, any way you want to go. And you will never find people coming before God empty-handed. They always came before God with an offering. Might be an animal. Might be some crops. But they always brought an offering to the Lord. Verse 8 says very clearly, bring an offering to God. You see, my money represents a piece of me. That's what it does. It's a piece of me. My money is a piece of me. I worked for that money. I earned that money. And now that money is a piece of me. And I am to use that to fund God's work in the world. It's the most important work going on planet Earth. You see, when I give, I'm saying to God, God, I trust you with my life. I know that you're going to take care of me. You see, God is my provider. I know that. Man does not provide for me. God provides for me. God is the one who meets my needs. And we need to also understand that giving to God never means having less. Never means that. The Bible says, give and it will be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what the Bible says. Give, and it will be given you. Now, this is a very important principle. The Bible is clear about this. The idea of sowing and reaping. You give, God gives back to you. But we don't use this as a retirement program. And we don't try to scam people. It's not what we do. But we do want people to know that when you give, God will give to you in return. That's what the Bible says. And it may not be necessarily money. He might give to you in other means. But God will always provide for His people. Giving to God never means having less or not having enough. Never means that. And you know, it's not something we hark on when was the last time I preached on giving? Can anybody even remember? It has to be years. Has to be years. It's not something we do. In some churches, it's all you get. 24/7. Gotta give, gotta give, gotta give, gotta give. Sow a seed to my ministry. Sow a seed to my ministry. In other words, I need a better car. I need a new jet. I need a, you know, fancier home or whatever. We don't do that. We don't do that. All of our money goes to God and His work. all of it. You can audit our books anytime. It's open for anyone. And even I could write a check out of our checking account, but I'm only there as an emergency. If the elders are not available, I can sign a check for Jennifer. I never count the money. I never touch the money. I never see the money. I don't fool with it. Don't have anything to do with it. But some preachers, that's their total focus. I don't even think about our money. But I know our members here have been good, and they have always given. They've always funded the causes that we put before them, and we are ever so thankful for your generosity and love for God. But we do this because we want to fund the work of God. How else is God's work going to be funded if his people don't fund it? I don't know. Can't depend on the government, right? Nor would we. Why the Lord's Supper? Why the Lord's Supper? With grape juice and unleavened bread, every single Lord's Day we participate. We have fellowship with Christ. That word there in the Greek is the word koinonia. And it means fellowship. And so in a very special way, when we take that unleavened bread and that grape juice and we eat it and drink it in remembrance of Jesus, when we do that, in a very special way, there is a connection between us and Jesus. A fellowship, a communication occurs. Kind of like the song that says, have a little talk with Jesus, right? Now, there it says, tell him all about our troubles. But here, we're having a little talk with Jesus, thanking him for coming. Thanking him for going to the cross. Thanking him for providing salvation for us. It's a very special time between you and Jesus Christ. When we partake, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Every Lord's Day, we preach the death of Jesus when we take communion. Because what we're telling the world is that we have been died for. Christ died for us. And that's why we're gathered together as a body, worshiping him today, thanking him for the salvation that he offers us in Jesus Christ. I'm amazed at how many believers don't think the Lord's Supper is a big deal. It's a big deal. It is. It's a big deal. Right, it's that special time between you and Jesus and thanking him for all that he's done for you and still does for you. Wow, what a great God. What a great Savior. Read the Gospels. The early church, every week, celebrated the Lord's Supper. And we do as well. And you know the beautiful thing, you know what it does? It brings us back to the cross. That's right where it takes you. Where does baptism take you? To the cross. Both baptism and the Lord's Supper take you to the cross. Why pray? Why pray? Prayer is the voice of faith. It's faith expressing itself. Why pray? You believe that God hears you and that he will involve himself in your life if you ask him. That's why you pray. That's why you do it. That's why I do it. You see, when we pray, God moves on our behalf. God works on our circumstances. He works in our lives. That's the beauty of prayer. Prayer is an amazing thing. I talk to God, and God listens to me. Isn't that humbling? God listens to me. I talk and God listens. Listen, there's a lot of people I talk and they don't listen. God listens to me. 1 Peter 3:12. The eyes of the Lord over the righteous, His. Let me read it. For some reason I've got a little block. Normally I could quote it every now and then. 3:12. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." There it is. His ears are wide open. You speak, God hears. Not only does God hear, God moves. God moves and begins to work in your life in amazing ways. God hears and God answers prayer. Why pray? We need God. That's why we pray. I need God. I need His help. And there's so many things that I cannot do, but God can. God can. You know, when we minister to people who are really hurting deeply, I'm limited, but God isn't. God can use me in an amazing way to pick somebody up who's really down. God can do that. Not only can He do that, He does that. I've seen Him do that on numerous occasions. And let me ask you this. Who has a relationship with someone and never talks? Who does that? I mean, if you have a relationship, that means you're communicating. There is no relationship if there is no communication. No matter how much you say there is, there isn't. What kind of relationship is it when you don't talk? God wants us to talk to Him. He wants to help us. And He wants us to show our love and appreciation. He wants us to pray for a lost world that can be redeemed in Jesus Christ. Why come? Why sing? Why preach? Why give? Why the Lord's Supper? Why pray? Because God is seeking worshipers. Seeking worshipers. Are you one of His worshipers? You see, why do all those things? It's the only reasonable response to a God that loved us and redeemed us in Jesus Christ. That's why do those things. Is there a better response to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ than these things? I don't think so. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, worship the Lord. Make it a habit to be here. Because some make it a habit not to be here. They simply don't come, and it becomes a habit. And their life begins to go down as a result, and so will yours. We need this. You need this. I need this. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want to say real quick, the Bible says that we're sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And the Bible says our sin separates us from God. And if we die in our sins, we'll be eternally separated from God. And so it matters whether we know Jesus Christ or not, because we're sinners. And the good news is that Jesus came and He died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us enough to send His Son Jesus into the world to die so that we could be redeemed from our sin, which is causing us to be separated. What's my response? What should I do? Well, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8. That's it. Grace, faith, grace, faith. But James says faith without works is dead. Faith always expresses itself, true biblical faith. James, you know, says concerning the demons, he said the demons believe and tremble, but they're not saved. They believe. So just believing doesn't save you. That belief should result in repentance, a change of mind that results in a change of life. And Jesus says, unless you repent, you'll perish. Luke 13:3, Luke 13:5. And we're called to confess Jesus. Romans 10:9-10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes on righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we need to confess with our mouth Jesus, that he's Lord. And then lastly, we need to be baptized. And, you know, Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, he said, go and preach the gospel. And he said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's what we see all the way through the book of Acts. We see sermon after sermon being proclaimed, and group after group, and individual after individual responding to the gospel in the very way that I'm telling you this morning. If you need Jesus, we urge you to come as we stand and sing.